विच्छायासीं लायते षण्मुखेन आलक्षये भवति मन्तरान्धी दूरे बन्धुन् शोचसि कञ्चनाम्ब धर्म उवाच कच्चित् भद्रे नामयमात्मनस्ते विच्छाया सिम्लायते षण्मुखेन आलक्षये भवति मन्तरान्धी दूरे बन्धु शोचसि कञ्चनाम्ब धर्म उवाच कच्चित् भद्रे नामयमात्मनस्ते विच्छाया सिम्लायते षण्मुखेन आलक्षये भवति मन्तराधिम् दूरे बन्धुं शोचसि कञ्चनाम्ब धर्म उवाच धर्म इन्क्वायर्ड कच्चित् वेदर भद्रे मैडम अनामयम क्वाइट हेल एंड हार्टी आत्मनः सेल्फ ते अन टू यू विच्छया असी appear to be covered with the shadow of grief. Malayata, which darkness. Isat, slightly. Mukhena, by the face. Alakshaye, you look. Bhavatim, unto yourself. Antaradhim, some disease within. Dure, long distance. Bandhum, friend. Sochasi, thinking of. Kanchana, someone. Amba, O mother. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who's away in a distant place? Purport. The people of the world in this age of Kali are always full of anxieties. Everyone is diseased with some kind of ailment. From the very faces of the people of this age, one can find out the index of the mind. Everyone feels the absence of his relative who is away from home. The particular symptom of the age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. To earn a livelihood, the father lives at a place far away from the son, or the wife lives far away from the husband, and so on. There are sufferings from internal diseases, separation from those near and dear, and anxieties for maintaining the status quo. These are but some important factors which make the people of this age always unhappy. Text number 20. Padarnunam shochasi maikapadam atmanam va vrushale mokshamanam aho suradin ritayajna bhagan praja utsvinman magha vatya ishvarshati. I have lost my three legs and am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings? Because no sacrifices are being performed at present. Or are you grieving for living beings because of their suffering due to famine and drought? Purport. With the progress of the age of Kali, four things particularly, namely the duration of life, mercy, the power of recollection, and moral or religious principles which will gradually diminish. Since dharma or the principles of religion would be lost in the proportion of three out of four, the symbolic bull was standing on one leg only. When three-fourths of the population of the world becomes irreligious, the situation is completely... Situation is converted into hell for the animals. In the age of Kali, godless civilizations will create so many so-called religious societies in which the personality of Godhead will be directly or indirectly defied. And thus, faithless societies of men will make the world uninhabitable for the saner section of people. There are gradations of human beings in terms of proportionate faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first class faithful men are the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas. Then the Kshatriyas. Then the Vaishyas. Then the Shudras. Then the Mlechhas. And the Yavanas. And at last the Chandalas. The degradation of the human instinct begins from Mlechhas. And the Chandala state of life is the last word in human degradation. All the above terms mentioned in the Vedic literatures are never meant for any particular community or birth. They are different qualifications of human beings in general. There is no question of birthright or community. One can acquire the respective qualifications by one's own efforts, and thus the son of a Vaishnava can become a Mlecha, or the son of a Chandala can become more than a Brahmana, all in terms of their association and intimate relation with the Supreme Lord. The meat eaters are generally called Mlechas, but all meat eaters are not Mlechas. Those who accept meat in terms of scriptural injunctions are not Mlechas, but those who accept meat without restriction are called Mlechas. Beef is forbidden in the scriptures, and the bulls and cows are offered special protection by followers of the Vedas. But in this age of Kali, people will exploit the body of the bull and the cow as they like, and thus they will invite sufferings of various types. The people of this age will not perform any sacrifice. The Mlecha population will care very little for performances of sacrifices, although performance of sacrifice is essential for persons who are materially engaged in sense enjoyment. In the Bhagavad Gita, performance of sacrifice is strongly recommended. The living beings are created by the created Brahma, and just to maintain the created living beings progressively towards the path back to Godhead, the system of performing sacrifice is also created by Him. The system is that living beings live on the produce of grains and vegetables, and by eating such foodstuffs, they get vital power of the body in the shape of blood and semen. And from blood and semen, one living being is able to create other living beings. But the production of grains, grass, etc. becomes possible by rain, and this rain is made to shower properly by performance of recommended sacrifices. Such sacrifices are directed by the rites of the Vedas, namely Sam Veda, Yajur Rig Veda and Athar Veda. In the Manusmriti, it is recommended that by offerings of sacrifice on the altar of fire, the sun god is pleased. When the sun god is pleased, he properly collects water from the sea, and thus sufficient clouds collect on the horizon and rains fall. After sufficient rains fall, there is sufficient production of grains for men and all animals, and thus there is energy in the living being for progressive activity. The Mlechas, however, make plans to install slaughterhouses for killing bulls and cows along with other animals, thinking that they will prosper by increasing the number of factories and live on animal food without caring for the performance of sacrifices and production of grains. But they must know that even for the animals, they must produce grass and vegetables, otherwise the animals cannot live. And to produce grass for the animals, they require sufficient rains. Therefore, they have to depend ultimately on the mercy of the demigods like the sun god, Indra and Chandra, and such demigods must be satisfied by the performance of sacrifice. This material world is sort of a prison house. As we have several times mentioned, the demigods are the servants of the Lord who see to the proper upkeep of the prison house. These demigods want to see that the rebel living beings who want to survive faithlessly are gradually turned towards the supreme power of the Lord. Therefore, the system of offering sacrifice is recommended in the scriptures. The materialistic men want to work hard and enjoy fruitive results for sense enjoyment. Thus, they are committing many types of sins at every step of life. Those, however, who are consciously engaged in the devotional service of the Lord are transcendental to all varieties of sin and virtue. Their activities are free from the contamination of the three modes of material nature. For the devotees, there is no need of performance of prescribed sacrifices, because the very life of the devotee is a symbol of sacrifice. But persons who are engaged in fruitive activities for sense enjoyment must perform the prescribed sacrifices, because that is the only means to get free from the reaction of all sins committed by fruitive workers. Sacrifice is the means for counteracting such accumulated sins. The demigods are pleased when such sacrifices are performed, just as prison officers are satisfied when the prisoners are turned into obedient subjects. Lord Chaitanya, however, has recommended only one yajna or sacrifice called the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the Hare Krishna, in which everyone can take part. Thus, both devotees and fruity workers can derive equal benefit from the performances of Sankirtan Yajna. Long purport. Suna na? Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamaiham Dadati Swapadandikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are very fortunate to have your association today morning. We have restarted our Sunday festivals, and this is maybe second or third slight changes. Previously we used to have it in the afternoon, now it is in the morning time, so that all of you can commit yourself to the evening social responsibilities probably. So thank you very much for coming. We'll take a recap. What has been happening? What is this shloka? Dharma Uvacha. So Dharma is speaking to the cow whose bhumi. So in this chapter, which chapter begins with, now the Pandavas, they have retired from family life. Yudhishthira Maharaj has enthroned Parikshit, his grandson, as the king, and he has retired and they have gone back to Godhead. Now Parikshit, as he was trained by Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was very perceptive. He could immediately perceive that in his kingdom, the signs and symptoms of Kali Yuga are manifested in the behavior of his citizens. He could see that some people have started eating meat, gambling, intoxication, womanization. All this was creeping up. And As soon as he understood this, he decided that I must counter this. So he already knew that Kali Yuga is coming. Because Kali Yuga is coming anyways, therefore we cannot sit tight and think that any minute it is supposed to come. A devotee always does his duty. Like Srila Prabhupada in one of the purports, he sort of openly challenges the age of Kali. He talks about, let us reverse the wheel of Kali. This is Prabhupada talking. Let us reverse the wheel of Kali. So, now who can reverse what is time? I am. Krishna is the time. But a devotee challenges this time also. Let us reverse this. So similarly, in the same mood, Parikshit Maharaj, he decides that, okay, I must go out and find out who is doing all these things, how it is coming in. So he goes for a tour of his kingdom, which is the whole Bharatvarsha, not only Bharatvarsha, all the dvipas, the Bhumi. He is the emperor of the whole earthly planet. So there is various description of dvipas, various dvipas, Jambu dvipa and their varshas and the what we know today, Bharat Varsha. So wherever he goes, people are welcoming him. The kings are welcoming him. They are glorifying his ancestry, his grandfathers, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Arjuna and Lord Krishna. And they are also telling him that how fortunate you are that you have seen Krishna right in the womb. You are protected by Krishna. That's how you are Parikshit. So he is very happy to hear all these things. Because it is connected to Krishna. Then in one place, suddenly he finds this bull. White as a lotus. And he starts looking at the bull and the cow. And that is the description now today we are reading. He is hearing. So Dharma Vacha. This bull represents Dharma. So Dharma, when he is inquiring, he is himself in a lot of suffering. What has happened? He has lost his three legs. He is somehow tottering, balancing, trying to balance on that one leg which is remaining. And with that, he is not talking about help, help, help. He is seeing that this cow, she is okay. She looks hale and hearty, but her face is very lusterless. There is no charm on her face. She appears to be completely blackened by grief. There is something wrong with them. So that's why he's inquiring. Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who's away in a distant place? So these are the general, you can say, causes of our suffering. Some internal disease, separation from loved ones, somebody staying far off place and you're alone. Then further he goes, I have lost my three legs. Now he thinks that maybe she's not happy crying because seeing me the way I am. So I have lost my three legs and now I'm standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Very important, unlawful meat eaters. That means there are lawful meat eaters. So yes, lawful meat eaters means they do eat meat with a process which is recommended in the scriptures. Like one of the processes, meat eating is bad. But the process recommended is that you cut the goat or whatever chicken, and in the ear of that living entity, you speak Mamsa. That means, now I am cutting you, next time you cut me. So naturally, when somebody says repeatedly, Mamsa, Mamsa, then it's one day, what am I saying? How many people are going to cut me? So then he gives up. This is the whole idea. So this is by some process, there is a lawful meat eating. But meat, fish, eggs, whatever. But one thing is absolutely contraindicated, absolutely not allowed in the Vedic sciences. What is that? Killing and eating the bulls and cows. Absolutely not accepted. So those who engage in that, they are the unlawful meat eaters. Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrifice? That means sacrifices will not happen. Or are you grieving for the living entities who are going to suffer because of famine and drought? So these are various questions he poses to Bhumi, who is in the form of a cow, who is crying. So here we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam expounds the most important, or you can say superlative form of dharma. So dharma means duty. Dharma has many meanings, but one of the meanings is duty, occupation. So various levels of dharma are there. But the highest dharma is the Bhagavad Dharma. Because highest dharma in the Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he tells what is the highest dharma? To give up other dharmas. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mahasucha. So Krishna is telling Arjun, the highest form of dharma is to give up all other lower dharmas. And that's where Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this idea, that the highest dharma is to give up all other lower dharmas. Of course, we must follow some dharma, whatever is our level. We cannot just say that because Krishna says, give up all religions. But the most important religion is surrender to me. So the Sharanagati, the consciousness of surrendering unto the original personality of Godhead, so Supreme Person of Godhead, that's the real dharma. Jivera Swarubhaya Krishnaira Nityadas. That is our original identity. What is our original identity? Jivera Swarubhaya Krishnaira Nityadas. Eternally. Nitya means eternally. Eternally we are servants, part and parcels of Krishna. So to engage in that reciprocation of being part and parcel, integral part and parcel, never separated in the consciousness of Sharanagati. That's the eternal dharma, Jaiva dharma, the dharma of Jiva. So Srimad Bhagavatam talks of this kind of dharma. And that is what the bull dharma is now bringing it out. That even though actually he is suffering, but he is not complaining. What is he doing? He is talking about somebody else suffering. So in Sharanagati, a surrendered living entity, he will always try to serve Krishna in all situations, even though he is suffering. He is more concerned about giving Krishna to others, alleviating sufferings of others, rather than his own suffering. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, he had two heart attacks on the ship. And as soon as he got down, he went to New York. Was he trying to go to some doctors, cardiologists? No. He was just trying to give. In that situation also, he was trying to serve. He was conducting free feast programs on Sunday by trying to sell Srimad Bhagavatam, which was not very attractively printed at that time. Somehow from somewhere he would get some money and immediately spend it without thinking that what will happen to the next month's rent. There's no rent available. Still he would spend it on the people who were externally very happy. They had beautiful bodies, youthful bodies, and they were doing engaging in activities which are externally happy activities for them. But Prabhupada knew that they are suffering. They are trying to see happiness in something which is like a mirage. Into sex, into drugs, into meat eating, intoxication. And he wanted to save them. So he was crying for their suffering. He's thinking they are suffering so much. And sometimes our Indian counterpart, they think, I want to suffer like that. I want to do all those things. I let me suffer like that. So they don't consider it suffering. But Prabhupada, by his transcendental vision, he can see that they are suffering. And therefore, he went all out, risked his life, and gave Krishna consciousness to others. Even after many people joined him, and he's on his deathbed, in the last days of in Vrindavan, he's lying there. He has hardly any appetite. He's drinking some juice once in a day or twice in a day. No food, grains. But still, in that situation, neither is he complaining, nor is he concerned about his health. All the time, what he is asking to the management people, are all the devotees taking food properly? Is there prasad, enough prasad available for all of them? This is concerned. So this is the, you can say, the culture which the bull, dharma, is bringing up. What is that culture? The culture of Sharanagati. That in that Sharanagati, you represent Krishna in all circumstances. Krishna is concerned about maintenance of all living entities. So you are also concerned about maintenance of all living entities. Krishna is concerned of happiness of people, their progress on the path back to Godhead. So you take part in that concern of Krishna, the compassion of Krishna. You represent the compassion of Krishna. So this is the culture which we can see through this conversation of bull and bhumi. Having said this, let's go to the purport, which is so long, and I'm sure all of you have heard it very attentively. Suna na? Okay. I may question you. So, here in the purport, the bull is bringing out three points very strongly, that how the age of Kali is affecting the world. So first he says, first problem is, we discussed earlier, unlawful meat eaters exploiting the earth's planet. Second is, now these meat eaters, they are least interested in any type of sacrifice. First of all, they are faithless. They do not have faith that somebody is providing all this thing. They think that the world has come upon just like that. By chance the world has come. And therefore they do not care for any type of sacrifice. If at all they want to do sacrifice, it is generally for meat eating. Because they find out some passages from scriptures, the acceptability of the population, and then they engage in killing animals again in the name of sacrifice. And some of them will say, these sacrifices, they give scientific reasons, these sacrifices help the poor, malnourished people to get some good nutrition. This is their logic. They talk like that. But because of this stoppage of sacrifices, what happens? Naturally, the rains, the regularity of the seasons, the peace of the world, everything is destroyed. You will see that 50 years back, the seasons were quite regular. Those who are 50 beyond Dale Taylor. But now, seasons come anytime. Suddenly, there will be heavy rains in December. Or sometimes the summer extends up to July. Now, previously, I remember childhood, 7th June means rain has to come. Either 7th, before 7th June. 1st June to 7th June, rain has to come. We knew that. And just before Deepavali, the winter has to come. We had all Deepavalis with sweaters. And now, hardly, this is the first time probably in Mumbai there was some kind of winter. That is also gone now, since yesterday. And suddenly, before that, we could feel it. People probably must be finding out where is their sweater or this, that. By the time they bring it out, it is gone. And this is the situation. The seasons go away. Rains are not there. So what happens? There are droughts, famines, earthquakes. All these kind of things happen. Why? Because there are no sacrifices. The demigods are not getting their share. They are not happy. They don't care for you. Because they are pleased when the sacrifices are done. That's the method. When Lord Brahma, he creates this universe. So naturally, he creates the human beings, all other living creatures. For the human being, which is the highest in the ladder of evolution spiritually. So you gradually come from the lowest species to the highest species. And from the highest species, you go to the next species. That is, you can become a devata or you can become a swargavasi or whatever. A resident of higher planet. Or, if you are really very intelligent, most intelligent people, what will you do? You will go beyond the material universe. Even the swarga loka, tapa loka, mahar loka, satya loka, beyond that you will go. Where? You will cross the Viraja river and go beyond Viraja river in the spiritual world, in the one of the Vaikuntha planets. So to do this progressively, Lord Brahma, through the four Vedas, he gives the method of sacrifice. Yajna. So when I say yajna, what comes to your mind? Kya yaad aata hai? Yajna bolo to kya aata hai? Fire. Dhua. Aankhon ki jalan. Mantras. Mudras. So all that comes to your mind, right? So yajnas are very much a part of human civilization. Those who are called as civilized human beings, the Aryans. Aryan is not some kind of race based on physical structure. Arya means one who is a civilized man. So in the civilized society, yajna has to be there. And Krishna gives reasons why yajna should be there. So in the Gita, 3rd chapter, 14th verse, Krishna is telling Arjun, Annad bhavati bhutani. So all the living creatures, they subsist on anna, food grains. Parjanyad anna sambhava. How the food grains are grown? Parjanya. The rain has to be there. Rain, how does it come? Yajnad bhavati parjanyo. When yajnas are performed, the devatas are pleased, they send rain. Yajna karma samudbhava. Therefore, this yajna must be performed and it is born out of your prescribed duties. So prescribed duty means you follow your varna and ashram according to your psychophysical nature. Not that because you are a Brahmin, born in Brahmin society, therefore you are a Brahmin. Even though you are doing a work of a chandala, you are still a Brahmin. We had one Brahmin whose name was Lalu Brahmin. So, Lalya, Lalya used to call him. Now, he was born of a Brahmin family and he knew all the mantras. And Lalya means, actually he was very fair and red. So, he was known as Lalya. But whenever he called for marriages, particularly marriages in the villages, there are marriage means Brahmin has to be there. So, unless he drank one proper bottle of the country liquor, he couldn't even stand. He would tremble. Now, how can somebody call him Brahmin? But the people's innocence is like this. No, no, no. He's born. He's born in Brahmin. He must be called. Very innocent people. So, sometimes innocent people are cheated because of lack of knowledge and unscrupulous people. So, according to Varna and Ashram, Yajna Karma Samudbhava, out of prescribed duty, Yajna is born. Then another shloka, Krishna tells, this is for living. Living in this world, you require Yajna. Basically, food grains, therefore Yajna. But leaving this world, L-E-A-V-I-N-G, or going out of this world also you require Yajna. So Krishna tells in another shloka of the same chapter. Yajnyarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. If you want mukta, you want to get out of this material cycle of birth and death, samsara, what you have to do? There is no alternative. Yajna has to be performed. Yajnathar karmano nyatra. That means there is no other solution. You must perform the yajna. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. So, don't remain bonded. Get liberated by yajna. So, therefore, we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedas, they are the manual for us to exist in this material world and also exit from this material world. That is the manual which are being given to us. So, the yajnas, as I said, ki all of you will remember immediately some fire, some kind of mantras, various types of arrangements, tapascharyas, grains, very specific types of wood, which are considered very pure. All these are ingredients. Somehow you may get some ingredients. It's very difficult in Kali Yuga to get pure ingredients. Like pure ghee is also difficult to get. But somehow you may get. But then to perform the yajna, you need a proper qualified person, a brahmana. Now there is not one brahman, there are four types of brahmans. In yajna, you require four types of brahmanas who will do yajna. There is a brahma. Brahma is a type of brahmin who is like a presiding person of our yajna. Then there is a hota. Then there is udgata. That means who sings the mantra. And there is a ritvik. So all these four types of brahmins, they are supposed to be there. And all of them have to be expert. And if they are not expert, it can cause a havoc. Like once king of the devatas, Indra, Devendra, he was sitting in his assembly and all the apsaras are dancing, people are glorifying him. How? He is a Shatakratu. I mean, he has performed 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. No one else has performed. And he has conquered this and he has conquered that. What is his Vajra? It can crush mountains. Amazing power. So, naturally, the king, he is very happy to hear this. And suddenly, his spiritual master, Brihaspati, enters. So then Brihaspati, naturally, when a guru comes or any sadhu comes, it is the duty of the king or any person in that assembly to get up, give them proper asana, welcome them, and then resume their duties again. But Indra was infatuated by his prosperity and did not bother. So Brihaspati understood that what is Indra's consciousness. He quietly left and became completely invisible to him. And Indra is trying to search him because he realized, I made a mistake. Started running. But Brihaspati was not to be seen. And because of this offense, then Indra was defeated by the Asuras immediately. So, insult to a great personality, you don't have to go to the astrologer to find out what hell to have. Bad days are coming, just wait. So, in order to rectify the situation, Brahma gives him a solution. And he tells him that, you know, right now, Brihaspati is not going to be visible to you. You will have to do some things. There is one person, Vishwarup. You know, he's the son of Tvashta. You go to him and perform a yajna. Again, yajna. And by that, you will get your lost opulence back again. So, Vishwarup is performing yajna. Swaha, swaha, swaha. Nicely, yajna is going. Vishwarup had four heads. Or three heads, sorry. But quietly, because his mamas were asuras. His mother was from asura family. So he was also offering oblations for the asuras, quietly. And Indra saw that. And Indra immediately cut off his three heads. Brahmahatya. Again, one more problem. What to do now? And because Vishwarup was killed, Tvashta performed yajna. Now, listen, this is very interesting. Tvashta is performing yajna so that he creates a son or a living being or whatever, somebody comes from the sacrifice, who will kill the enemy Indra. So, the specific word he uses for invoking that is a Indra Shatro. Let the enemy of Indra be born. That's the meaning, Indra Shatro. But instead of Sha, he speaks Indra Shatro. So, Sha ka Sha ho gaya. And with that, the meaning completely changed. It meant the enemy Indra, you kill the person who's being born now. So in this way, Vritrasur was born and Vritrasur was destined to be killed by Indra. By that, Shatro to Shatro. So you can imagine that yajnas are not ordinary things. A single word here and there can make a lot of changes. And then there are mudras and, you know, sometimes our yajna people, Muralidhar Prabhu, Vishwarupa, they tell us, and when we say swaha, so swa means the mouth will open, yajna's mouth will open, and ha, it will close. So you have to put those grains swaha. Now sometimes you say, ha ke baad gaya to idhar lag jayega na, sir. So you get scared, right? He will be offended, Agni will get offended. Swaha. Like ha means close. So all these things meticulously are to be done in the yajna. It's not easy. A lot of money is required. So then, Prabhupada is a very solution-oriented person. You will see, he will not talk much about problems. There are problems. Now, mlechas are there. And he describes all the types of people, the mlechas, yavanas, chandalas. The last word in human degradation is chandala. He can eat a dog. He has no, you can say, social responsibility practically. So then, Prabhupada comes to the solution. This chandala cannot perform yajna. You require brahmanas. Kshatriyas cannot perform yajnas. What is that solution which can give material and spiritual benefit to all population? So today is also a very important day of Bhishmashtami. Bhishma Ashtami. We'll connect the two things later. So Bhishma, he left this world on today's tithi, Magh Shukla Ashtami. Today is Magh Shukla Ashtami. On today's day, Bhishma Dev left this planet. He went back to Godhead. He is one of the Mahajans. Why is he Mahajan? The whole world knows he took the side of Kurus, Kauravas, and fought against Krishna, fought against his own virtuous grandsons, Pandavas. So, there is a reason why he is a Mahajan. So today we will just discuss a little bit about Bhishma, the glorious personality. There is no parallel to Bhishma in the history. There will be no parallel in the future. That kind of personality is Bhishma. So we are fortunate that today we are hearing about Bhishma. What kind of character, what kind of personality was he? So Bhishma, first of all, he is the only person who defeats that person who is known as Ajita. The Supreme Person of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Narayan, Vishnu, he is known as Ajita. No one can conquer him. But twice Bhishma defeated him. Imagine the power of Bhishma. Twice he defeated him. Once, the son of Satyavati and Shantanu. Bhishma is also known as Shantanu Nandan. So, the son of Satyavati and Shantanu, there are two sons, Chitrangad and Vichitravirya. So, Chitrangad died in some fight with Gandharva, who was also known as Chitrangad. So, there was like, who is real Chitrangad? There was like competition there. He was killed. Some like Kshatriyas, you know, they fight only for honor. And they don't care if they die. That's a Kshatriya. If somebody says, I'm a Kshatriya, and he's afraid of death, he's not a Kshatriya. Kshatriya means he was never afraid of death. He was ready to die for honor. So Chitrangad died. Then Vichitravirya, he had to marry. So Bhishma went and brought three daughters of Kashiraj. It's a big story. You must have seen in the Mahabharata. So all these three daughters, Amba, Ambalika and Ambika, all three were brought. They were to be married and suddenly Amba says, I have already given my heart to somebody else, Shalva. So Bhishma says, no problem, I'll make sure that you go back. So he ceremoniously, very nicely, giving a lot of gifts, he sends her back. But Shalva is another person, crazy Kshatriya. So he doesn't accept her. And he says, go and marry Bhishma. So she comes back and tells her, he doesn't want to take me, now you marry me. Bhishma says, I can't marry. I have already taken vow of complete celibacy. That's how he is known as Bhishma. Because no one ever had taken such a vow that I will never marry, even if he was the strongest king. So then Amba, she starts going to people and ultimately somebody tells, you go and approach Parshuram. Parshuram is very powerful and is the guru of Bhishma. So automatically, he will have to listen. So she goes to Parshuram, explains the story. And Parshuram says, yes, you are right. He kidnapped you. So it's not your fault. He has to marry you. I will come with you. So Parshuram, Amba, they come to Bhishma. And Bhishma says, Gurudev, how can I serve you? So marry this girl. That's not possible. Then be ready to die. He said, no problem. Let's fight. And in the fight, he literally defeats Parshuram. And Parshuram is so happy. See, he's a supreme lord. He's so happy that he defeated him. And he gives him blessing that there will be no one like you. So this is the first time he defeated the supreme lord. Next time, in the war of Mahabharata, Krishna decided to take side of Pandavas on their request. But he said on one condition, I will not be fighting, I will not be using any weapons. I will just be your sarathi, chariot driver. And then the war is going on, Bhishma is killing lakhs of soldiers every day. Every day. So by few days, Pandavas are already half. And then Duryodhan is taunting in between. You are not fighting valiantly. You are still trying to take side of Pandavas. You don't want them to die. So then Bhishma says, okay, today you will see my valor. And that day, he fights as history has never seen. It is said, in Mahabharata describes that when Bhishma was fighting, all the Pandava soldiers and even the Pandavas themselves, they could see that Bhishma is here in the eastern side. And they would turn to the western side, they would see Bhishma there. They turn to the south, Bhishma is there. North, Bhishma is there. So everywhere it was only Bhishma. How he was doing, no one knew. Thousands of arrows that simultaneously would shoot, kill bulk soldiers. And then ultimately he comes right in front of Arjuna and Krishna. So Krishna tells Arjuna that what do you want? This war is to be finished today? Look at him, the way he is fighting. You need to counteract him. So only one person could counteract him, that was Arjun. So Arjun starts fighting, but Arjun remembers, this is my grandfather. I have sat in his lap. He has fed me. He has given me important lessons in life. He is so dear to me. How can I shoot at him? So he is very mild. And because of mildness, but Bhishma is not mild. He is actually very, very angry. Because he has been taunted by Duryodhan. So he shoots so many arrows on Arjun and Krishna. Krishna's body is full of arrows. Blood is oozing out of the horses are tired. And now Krishna can see that, okay, Krishna is thinking, this Arjun is not going to improve. And now this Bhishma is not going to stop. That means the war will be over today. That means the Pandavas will lose. That means Dharma will not be established. So, I have told in the previous discourse with Arjuna, what I have told? Boldly declare, O Kaunteya, my devotee will never perish. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktya pranashyati. Boldly declare. So, the acharyas tell us, why Krishna tells him, boldly declare. Why can't he say, I boldly declare that my devotee will never? Because Krishna values the word of his devotee much more than his own word. And there is Bhishma. He has said that either Krishna has to take weapon or Arjuna has to die. So he has also taken a vow. So thinking like this, then Krishna suddenly, he comes down from the chariot. And rushes with the Sudarshan Chakra. It is described that his pitambar, the yellow garment, and the bluish Krishna, he is going in such a speed that it was appearing that there is a blue cloud and the lightning is there in the cloud. And that was his pitambar. And he is rushing. And what Bhishma does? Bhishma is still standing with his bow. And he is telling Krishna, O Krishna, O Jananivas, O Keshava, O Madhava, O protector of Vishnis, come and kill me. He's not afraid of death. He said, come and kill me. Today you have glorified me in the three worlds. Because you broke your own promise. And when I'm killed, I'll go back to Godhead. All profit is mine. Come on. So Krishna is rushing. But here is Arjuna. He is also a devotee. He's thinking, no, how can Krishna take weapon? He has taken a vow. I should protect his vow. So he starts running. He holds Krishna. But Krishna is just like a hurricane. He uproots a tree. The hurricane uproots the tree and takes the tree with him. Similarly, Arjuna was being pulled by Krishna. And Arjuna is thinking, what to do now? So then the only thing he knew is lotus feet of Krishna. So he grabs the feet. Says, Keshava, wait. I take vow on my sons and brothers. Now I will fight. So as soon as Krishna hears this. But by this time, Krishna Mahabharata said, Krishna has already dragged him 10 steps. On the 10th step, he stopped. He said, okay, come on, fight. And then Bhishma is happy, Arjuna is happy, fight resumes, and then we know Bhishma was put on the bed of arrows the next day. And now, after almost 58 days, today, on the Bhishma Ashtami, in the Uttarayan, when the sun changes its course from south to the north, that is the daytime for the devatas. That is Uttarayan. In that period, Bhishma decides to give up his body. Just before he gives up body, here is Yudhishthir, who is completely despondent, thinking that I have, because of my throne, millions of people have died. Millions of ladies have become widows. Millions of children have become orphans. What I have done? He was not happy. And Krishna was telling him, it's okay. You have done it for dharma. You have done it on my order. It's not your fault. But he's not convinced. So ultimately, Krishna says, let's go to Bhishma. He will tell you how to think as a king. So then Pandavas, Krishna, many other Brahmanas, including Vyasadeva, Rishis, they all go to Bhishma, and there Yudhishthir Maharaj asks questions and he gives beautiful answers on how to run a kingdom, how to treat servants, all possible details. It's a beautiful narration. At the end, Yudhishthir Maharaj asks, you tell me now, you have told me the whole science of dharma. If I have to worship one, whom should I worship? If I want to follow one process, what is the process? And that's where he is the Mahajan. So he gives the right answer. He says, the one to whom you should serve is sitting next to you. Narayan, Krishna, Vasudeva, Devaki Nandan. And the method, the process is Harinama Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And then he speaks about the Vishnu Sahasranam. So Bhishma is the person who, it's famous. Vishnu Sahasranam is all over the world. Everyone knows what is Vishnu Sahasranam. So it has Vishnu Sahasranam. And it says, this is the only method. This is the complete process, the Harinam Sankirtan. So Bhishma tells what now Prabhupada is telling in this purport. That of all the yagyas, the most important yagya is Sankirtana Yagya. Harinama Sankirtana. Even Yamaraj, who is another Mahajan. So when the Yamudutas were defeated by Vishnudutas, when they were trying to capture Ajamil, they come back to him and they ask him, who are these people? They seem to be superior to you also. So then that time he gives the knowledge and he tells again that anybody, Ajamil chanted by mistake the holy name of Krishna Narayan. But even if it is by mistake, the holy name is the universal absolute truth. And if anyone chants the holy name, don't touch him. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So I have just induced you to become immune to Yamaraj by chanting the holy name. So, Yamaraj is also endorsing this fact that his holy name, Sankirtana, is the best process, the best yajna for this material world, for the people of Kali Yuga. Best. Now you can understand, we'll take some, we have some time, maybe 10-15 minutes. What is this Sankirtana? What is the beauty of this Sankirtana? Now, Kali Yuga, first of all, manda, sumanda, matoyo, the intelligence is low, lifespan is low, the abilities are low. In that, to get those Brahma, Hota, Udgata, Ritvik, Brahmanas, great pure ingredients, impossible. So therefore, Krishna decides, I should give something which is really good. And just like Bhishma, he was defeating Krishna in various ways as a Kshatriya. The gopis of Vrindavan, they also defeated Krishna. Gopis of Vrindavan defeated Krishna repeatedly. In fact, sometimes Krishna had to tell them, "Kare bhaiya, my God, I am God. Why don't you believe me?" Said, "We don't believe you." Their love was so much that they did not care whether he is God or not God. By their love, he was made to dance. He was like a puppet in their hands. So thinking of this love, thinking of the bhakti of Brajavasis, Krishna, he becomes intoxicated by that love. He's simply intoxicated. He doesn't know. He says, "Na parayaham, I cannot repay you. Just be happy with your love. I have no capacity to repay you. It's impossible." And he's in that same mood, he's thinking, what is it? What is that kind of love that is attracting them to me? Everyone is attracted to me and I'm attracted to their love. I'm helpless in front of their love. What is this love? Particularly of one of the gopis, the highest gopi, Sri Radharani. I can't understand the gopi's love, Radharani's love. I must do something. So in that mood, he decides to take the form, the form which embodies the bhava of Srimati Radharani, the gopis. And in that form, now all the other yajnas are given by Brahma, but he decides, I'll give my own yajna. So now, sometimes, you know, in the olden day, the kings, when they were very happy, what would they do? He will call the minister. "Hey minister, come here. Release all the prisoners. Or jo bure, chandal, jo bhi log hai, just release them. I am very happy. Feed them. Give donations. Do a lot of charity." He's just in happy mood. Similarly, the Kali Yuga people are unqualified. But in that intoxicated mood, the Lord himself thinks, "Inko release karna chahiye. I must release these people. So I will give them something which was not available to great demigods like Brahma also. I am going to give them that love. The love of Braja for me." But how can these people be qualified? So I must give them myself in the form of my holy name, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. So Krishna Avatar in the form of holy name is available in this Sankirtan Yajna. And when he is giving, he is so intoxicated. He doesn't care who you are. So somebody says, Krishna, Chaitanya, this person is Brahmana. Okay, give him. He is a Vaishnava, give him. But what about this Kshatriya? Give him. But Mlecha, give him. Chandala, give him. Animal, give him. So he is just not bothered about who is in front of him. He just wants to give, give and give in the intoxicated state. So Sankirtan is that Yajna, which is given to all of us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the most magnanimous mood of being intoxicated by the love of Brijavasis. So he gives us, here, take this Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Param Vijayate. He gives that blessing also. This is the most victorious victory over what? Material existence. And beyond material existence, the spiritual upliftment. You will gain victory over there. By this Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Anandam Budhivardhanam. What will happen? The bliss, the joy in the heart, the spiritual joy will keep on vardhanam. It will keep on increasing. Every moment it will increase. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in that mood. And in that mood, he displays his wonders. So after taking sannyas, he was residing in Puri. He went for South India for about 2 years. Liberated all the people, inundated the whole South of India with Sankirtana. Made every person who met him became a devotee. And Mahaprabhu, when he is traveling, just by looking at him, just being in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those throngs of people would come. And when they came, what was their mood? Ami ghare na jaibo, vane prabeshivo. Now we don't want to go home. It was automatic. As soon as they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, chanting, with tears in his eyes, they would immediately think, what is the use of this material existence? Let us go with him. In that same mood, he is traveling. He is now thinking of traveling to Vrindavan. And he is taking permission from devotees that please allow me to go to Vrindavan. And the devotees are also attached to him. So they cheat him for 2 years. No, no, you can't go because now Chaturmash is coming, rainy season, you can't go. Then there is, now Dashara is coming, now there is Odan Shashti is coming, now Rathyatra is coming. So Rathyatra, again another rainy season. Like that, 2 years they are postponing. And Mahaprabhu was, okay. He knew that they are cheating him. But that is the nature of love. Mahaprabhu is allowing them. They are my devotees. Unless they give permission, I will not go. So then again he asks, can I go to Vrindavan? And the devotees, Ramananda Raya, Swarup Damodar, they understand. I think we have done too much with him. we cheated him for last 2 years. Somehow or other we kept him. Okay, you can go. But don't go alone. Take this devotee, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, with you. And one more person to carry your kamandalu. So Mahaprabhu is very happy. Next morning he leaves. Early morning, without anyone's knowledge, only 2 people with him, and he straight enters the forest of Jarikanda. So how is he going? He was always absorbed in the mood of Vrindavan, thinking of the gopis, the love of Brijavasis. He couldn't contain himself. So in that absorption, he goes further, and there, in the forest, he sees all the trees and the small rivulets. He thinks of Vrindavan. This is Yamuna. These are Kadamba trees. Like that he is thinking. This mountain is Govardhan. So his ecstasy increases hundreds of times. In that ecstasy, he sees a tiger. Tiger is just relaxing on the street, in the forest street, footpath. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya and that other person, they are like afraid. What's for a tiger? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu slaps him. Come on, chant Hare Krishna. So this tiger suddenly gets up and, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh. Then Balabhadra, then they go further. And he enters the river. And in the river, when he's taking bath, suddenly a huge flock of elephants, there's a huge group of elephants, big, big elephants, they come. And again these people are, what will they do to us? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Vrindavan, he just takes some water and splashes on. Come on, chant Hare Krishna. So immediately, the elephants, they go like this. And start chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in this way, Mahaprabhu turns the whole Jharikhand forest into a new Sankirtan party of animals. The tigers, the deers, the snakes, the peacocks, elephants, the foxes, jackals, everyone. All of them are together chanting the holy names. Monkeys. So this is the power of Sankirtan. So if the animals can do it, why can't the human beings, how much they can be elevated if they chant in the proper mood? Who is the timekeeper? Timekeeper koi hai kya? 10 minute lagega aur. Rudranath Prabhu, another 10 minutes, okay? Okay, fine, thank you. So, he is going, then he reaches Mathura. Then from Mathura again, people are watching him and then everyone is chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They are seeing this beautiful personality, complexion like a molten gold, eyes decorated with tears continuously flowing, voices faltering while chanting the holy names. And all of them, they join him. And a tumultuous kirtan happens in Mathura. And then he goes to Vrindavan, new Sankirtan party. So now there are few brahmanas with him. And in Vrindavan, he's chanting alone. And suddenly, a huge number of cows, they start running towards him. The cowherd boys are trying to protect them. They are trying to stop them. They are not stopping. They just rush to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then suddenly deers come. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is happy to see the trees. He embraces the trees. And the trees start oozing honey. And the deer start coming and licking him. So new Sankirtan party in Vrindavan. Like that, this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. So how Sankirtan is so glorious. I am just now bringing it to the, we could go for another 1 hour, but I will come to close of it. How Prabhupada brought that. These are miracles which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. But Prabhupada, in our times, how did he do it? So Prabhupada, if you see, initial lectures also you will hear, Prabhupada did not stress too much on lectures. Even in front of the American audience, youth, sometimes they would challenge him and somebody say, I am God. So Prabhupada would just ignore him, but some people would fight. They would challenge. And Prabhupada did not try to convince them by arguments or anything. He would just disarm them with some simple sentence. And he would, whenever there was a chaotic situation, what would Prabhupada do? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. And in this way, the whole Western Hemisphere, America, Europe, they were inundated by the holy name. And then he decided, now I should show the magic of the Harinam Sankirtan. I tried several years, 40 years I tried in India. No one thought that Harinam Sankirtan has such magic. Let me show them the magic. So he brought his 20 American disciples. And then Mumbai, Hyderabad, Surat, Gorakhpur. And the highlight was Surat. In Surat, Prabhupada would stay in some Mr. Jariwala's house. And from that house, every day, 7 a.m., all these 20 devotees with mridangas, shining kartals, beautiful dressed ladies, and his devotees would come out and kirtan would start from 7 a.m. and the route was fixed and go through the city and come back afternoon somewhere. And the mayor personally got involved and he made sure that every day's map is known to the people, where they are going. All gullies, mohallas, everywhere they would go. And they would receive so much love. And slowly the party of 20 would become 40, 100, 100, 200, 500. On the last day, the mayor of Surat, his name was Vaikuntha Shastri. Name was also appropriate. So Vaikuntha Shastri, he declared a holiday. Here all schools, factories, shops, everything will be closed. Only Sankirtan throughout the city. So this is Prabhupada. So the Yajna Kunda was as big as the city of Surat. This is Sankirtan Yajna. Then Prabhupada went to Hyderabad. So there people have already heard, this is all in the news. So Hyderabad people are saying, here there is a drought for so many years. And what, can you do something? Well, we can, no problems. Tomorrow morning our devotees will join, do Sankirtan, all of you join. So next morning, all the devotees join Kirtan and the local people join. And by 3 p.m. it starts pouring. Hyderabad starts like, there's heavy rain. And next day the headline is, heavy rains in Hyderabad, Swami claims the credit. So Prabhupada acknowledges, yes, this is correct. Sankirtan can fulfill all the desires. So this is Prabhupada's magic. Now I'm going to tell you the last story. Actually second last, but I'll make it last. Have you heard the story of the frowning girl? Anybody has heard frowning girl? No one has. Okay. This is a true story from writings of His Holiness Indradhanu Swami. So how Sankirtan affects the people? So they have this Poland festival every year since 90s. And a lot of opposition comes because it's a very successful festival. People get attracted to Krishna consciousness. So the church and the local people, they get against it. So in this year, the Poland festival, many people came and started distributing pamphlets right in front of them in their pandal and trying to dissuade people from not coming to that festival. And then they started fighting with the devotee. They punched one devotee. He started bleeding. So all the devotees said, what is this? We have been coming every year. What is happening? But then somehow that was settled and there were only a few people they left. And later, so many people came because every year they used to come that the festival became a super hit. The national television came, televised everything and aired it on the prime show which 20 million people would watch every day. And 3 days they repeated it. So, Indradyumna Maharaj started thinking, wow, it is not how you start, but how you finish is more important. That's what he said. This is very good. We're seeing this national coverage. The Indian ambassador, he wrote a beautiful, you can say, appreciation that I have visited this festival and you don't need to go to India. You come to this festival and India is here. And if delicious prasadam, everything is like really appreciated. And then that day printed for the next festival. And after the festival was ended, like many councils, city councils, they started calling them. And there are a few dates left. So, they accepted some invitations. This is one part. There is another part. There is a girl in one of the remote villages of Poland. The village's name is, now, how do you say it? I don't know, but it is something like Jernik. T-Z-E-R-Y-N-K. Something like that. So, you don't know how to pronounce it. But it is Jernik. So, there, this small girl, Monica, is sitting and asking her mother, Mother, Mom, do you believe in reincarnation? So, now they are Orthodox Church people. They say, where did you hear this? So, no, I feel intuitively that there is reincarnation. So she's, mother says, hey, don't tell anyone else. Just keep it to yourself. People will not accept, they will misunderstand you. So she said, yeah, I will not tell anyone, but I want to read books on this. So the mom got many books and she was quietly reading. 4 years. So she now becomes 11, from 7 to 11. And then after 11 years, the mom asks, so Monica, are you now wiser than before? Did you learn? Yeah, I have got many concepts from many religions, but I'm following Bible. But I have some problem with one, because in the school now, there's some TV show was going on, the kids were discussing, there's something called Hare Krishna cult. That Hare Krishna religion, I get scared of that. So mother said, don't worry, they'll not come here, it's a remote place. And then, same day she's sitting on the porch of her house and reading some book, and suddenly she hears the drums and the kartals and the harmonium, and everyone is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So she's thinking, oh my God, they have come here. So they just pass right in front of her house. And she is closing her eyes. She's frowning like this. She closes her ears. She doesn't want to hear because they're a cult. They're very dangerous. But then one devotee goes and gives her the invitation. She refuses the invitation. So he drops there and goes away. After some time she reads when they are gone. And she reads, Indian ambassador is saying, it's a beautiful festival. I didn't see them so weird also. Looks like they are good people. And then after half an hour they come back again. So she runs there. And she says, oh, Mr. Tom Jack is purchasing a book from them. Mrs. John Kowalski is purchasing a book. They must be good people. Immediately rushes back to the house, takes a scarf in the house, wears it like a sari, comes back to the procession, starts distributing the pamphlets. And Maharaj is thinking, he has seen the girl because he has noticed her, because her reaction was contrast to everyone else's reaction. Everyone was waving, smiling, chanting, and she was like this. So he noticed that this girl. And this girl comes next day wearing a proper sari because devotees give her a sari. And already she is wearing neck beads, beautiful tilak, gopi dots. And she is actually telling people, come on, see this, eat this. So Maharaj is saying, this is the wonder of Sankirtana. That person who was so scared, who did not know anything, and within a day, 24 hours, she's already doing the work of Lord Chaitanya. This is the power of Sankirtan. So is it simple? Yes or no? If I say hard, if it is hard, you agree with me? Yes. It is hard as well. It is very simple, but it's very hard. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he had one disciple. His name was Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Throughout the day, he would say, Hare Krishna, he would chant, go on like that. Throughout the day. And some disciples went and complained. Prabhupada, he was also known as Prabhupada. He's not doing any service. All the time chanting. We have to do a lot many service. So Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, you can also do that. But you can't. To chant the holy name for a long time is not an easy task. When you chant 16 rounds, you are mentally tired. Struggle with the mind. But in Sankirtan, it is different. Because you have encouragement about each other. The holy name is there. Though Krishna can incarnate in that holy name. Right there. Because of the Sangha. Association of devotees. But we need guidance. To perform Sankirtan, you need guidance. Guidance of the devotees, the spiritual master. And when you do with proper mood, what is the proper mood? Trinada pisuni chena tarora pisahishnara. Amanina manadana kirtaniya sadahari. When you do with that humility, chant together. It's the burden. Say, when you want to dance, can you have burden in your shoulder? No. You have to lessen the burden of the false ego. Lessen the burden of our judgmental attitude. Lessen the burden of our pride. That burden, when it is given up, then the bodies become light and they start dancing. And then, in that mood, when you do kirtan, then you will see that deities are no more marble deities. They are Krishna. The holy name is Krishna. The devotees around you are Vishnu Dutas. They have four arms. All this will be seen. It will be revealed. Why? Because the burden, the heavy burden of false ego is gone, you can dance now. And when you do Sankirtan in that mood, just like Narottam Das Thakur did, when he chanted in the Kheturi Gram festival, the first festival of Gaur Puranima in the Gaudiya history, he chanted so nicely, so humbly, so energetically, so enthusiastically, so eagerly. He was just inviting Krishna, and suddenly, in front of everyone, Mahaprabhu came. He had already left. Mahaprabhu came, Nityananda Prabhu came, Advaita Acharya came, Srivas Pandit came, all the Acharyas came, all those who had, everyone was there, and people could see them. That is the power of Sankirtan. So in your lives, this yajna, Prabhupada says, it will fulfill your spiritual and material necessities. So don't worry. Spiritual aage to vaat lag jayega aisa nahi. Material bhi milega. Material and spiritual. So perform the Sankirtan with the prerequisite of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Saishnanam. So now we'll perform Sankirtan for the next 15 minutes or 20 minutes. By that time we'll be ready to take part in the next part of Sankirtan, that is Prasadam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Who's singing? No.